They don't consider any Dhamma.
Yes, but are those moments also Dhammas?
They are, but they don't realize it.
Seeing at moment of chopping, is it the same as seeing right now? That which arises just to see, same category, same kind of a reality which just arises to see, only just arise to see, only that and then gone. No matter shopping, eating, walking, thinking, even at moment of thinking, there is seeing, but seeing is not thinking. No one can escape from the truth of reality. They are there right now. What is difference now and shopping?
Really, we know it's not different. They are only conditioned dhammas and we can repeat it. But in practice, people will say, I'm very far from the dhamma at some moments.
So we have to understand what it's meant by practice. Practice what and for what?
Yes.
Otherwise, it's just a word to practice, I or anyone, but no understanding of the absolute truth, seeing now and seeing at the moment of shopping, seeing is seeing. No one can change the seeing to be I at all. Because seeing has to be only seeing. Absolute truth.
Yes.
It has reason to see and then fall away. So where's I? Or where's shopping? There are six doorways. No matter when and where and what. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. And the absolute truth cannot be changed at all. Hardness at moment of shopping and now the same hardness. It is only hardness. Is there any difference between hardness here and at moment of shopping? Absolute truth. What is true and what is not true? It's there now to be known whether it's true or not. If we don't think in terms of people and things, just seeing here and seeing there and seeing in the other country or seeing in the market, seeing is seeing. And when we just talk about seeing, only seeing, no shape, no form, no one at all. Seeing is seeing when it arises to see and then gone. Never to return.
And I think it's what we could call chicken and egg situation. If someone doesn't really appreciate that it's the reality appearing now at any time that can be the object of understanding, then of course, when they are shopping or brushing their teeth, it won't occur to them that there are realities appearing. It's difficult if someone has an idea of practice that involves a special occasion and selecting a special object, because then they'll just be thinking about the next occasion and the next time that they can create special conditions. If I was in your situation, I would emphasize the fact that the realities that appear are the same at any time. And if there is the appreciation of the conditioned nature of awareness and understanding, then there will be occasion to think of the Dhamma when shopping or doing these other mundane chores.
Yes, very important what you say now. Yeah, very good.
In other words, it's when we think of the different situations as being the what is real, like the shopping or the sitting in a Dhamma discussion or going to the beach or going to the forest, when there's no understanding of the realities, it seems that certain situations are to be pursued or certain practices are to be followed. And there will always be this idea until there is the understanding of what the reality is at this very moment, the truth at this very moment.
So what is practicing and what practices?
Yeah, people have different ideas about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think doing something special, and that is not practice, that is clinging to self.
Otherwise, it's really just the word, but no understanding of the answer for what is meant by practicing and what practices.
Yeah.
And for what, to be what, without any understanding what practices and what is practicing, what is the purpose of practicing, to attain what? No understanding or understanding what again? Not just understanding, but understanding what? What is true now? What is real now? Is that anything which is not known as it is now? Otherwise, we don't know what we are talking about. To be truthful to the truth from the very beginning, what is there? Have we made it to be there, or it's there now, unknown as it is? And what is the absolute truth of what is now appearing? Without understanding little by little, hearing, considering the words of truth, what is practicing? And what is the usefulness of practicing? See, no answer. And what is the object of what is meant by practice? So we don't just follow the word, but we'd like to understand the truth of each word, of what is now appearing, to have a little more understanding of its nature as a reality, because it's experienced, it's seen, it's heard right now. What are they? Not Jonathan's voice, not Sarah's voice, not Queen Eve's voice. So what is there? And no more. Instantly. What appears now appears so very shortly. See, the sound, gone. Mm-hmm. The scene, this moment is not the scene just a moment ago. Is this practicing? Developing understanding of what is there as it is in truth. Not in our own thinking or idea about it. So does anyone like to practice?
So as you often say, Ajahn, that people follow the word instead of knowing the reality. So it's mm-hmm. very good to emphasize that point.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other point to be emphasized is that there's, in truth, there's no one who can do anything. So no one who can practice, no one who can come, no one who can go, no one who can shop, no one who can attend the Dharma discussion, because no one to be found anywhere. Just different realities arising and falling away. So when there is the understanding of realities that arise and fall away, there won't be any idea of I am practicing or I should practice. Or I should do anything.
Yes, and this is the point. We don't hear anywhere else. We hear it here. So it's very important. Nowhere else this is explained like that.
But it's all there in the Buddha's teachings throughout the Tipitaka. For those who consider carefully, because otherwise, what's the point of mentioning all dharmas are anatta? If there is an idea of I can practice, I can do anything, I can control, I can watch, I can observe, I can follow a certain kind of contemplation.
Yes, people like to control.
They like the idea that they control very much. They don't realize it brings all the difficulties and disturbances in life. But because there's so much clinging to the idea that I can control, so few people are really interested to study dharmas. For example, one of my family members mentioned a lot of difficulties, a lot of depression and a lot of problems, and the problems because he cannot change things the way he would like to. And so I talked a little bit about, well, this is the truth that no eye to change anything. So there has to be the learning to accept and understand what is conditioned now, because only this will bring true contentment in life, true letting go of clinging. But even so very difficult for anyone to appreciate. They still have the idea that certain situations are not good and certain situations are good and so on.
And Jonathan emphasized also that what one is used to do so long, very long, an idea of control, it's very hard for people to change, to letting go this idea.
Can we say that it's hard to understand, not just to try to change?
It's when you explain it, it's not hard to understand.
That's why we have to be truthful to the truth. For example, there is seeing, right? Here and then and wherever. We just talk about seeing. We don't talk about anyone or anything at all. No matter seeing here or seeing there, in the room or out of the room. We just talk about seeing, because seeing is real at that moment. That's the way to understand that actually there cannot be anyone at moment of seeing at all. Just seeing here and there. And when there's more understanding of the truth of seeing, no one sees for sure. And hearing here in the room, in other place, hearing is hearing. Hearing arises. So we just talk about the reality at a time when it's there, as no one there at all in truth. Seeing here now, seeing in Netherlands, seeing somewhere, seeing, we are talking just about seeing, that it's a reality. It arises to see and then gone instantly, never to be found at all in samsara, to understand whether it's true or not. when it's true, there's no one at all. They are only different realities by conditions. Non-stop, as long as there are conditions for what to arise, it has to arise just right now. Seeing, seeing, arising and falling away, unknown, because what is so very subtle, seeing is so very subtle because it arises and falls away unknowingly, even right now or any time. Only right understanding begin to understand seeing as seeing. Thinking is thinking. Liking is liking. Whatever is there, just arise by conditions and then gone. And that is the way to realize the truth little by little, letting go ignorance and wrong understanding of idea of self and things.
I think
so. What happened now? Yes.
I think people are so overwhelmed by the problems they have in daily life, and then they forget that seeing is seeing and thinking is thinking.
Understanding, not enough development of understanding. They just want to practice, just to experience such and such without understanding of the truth of this moment. And without understanding the truth of this moment, how can there be the understanding of the truth of what will be later in the evening, tomorrow morning, and from now on? What is there unknown, as this moment is unknown? No understanding of this moment. So how can there be the understanding of next moment about that which appears? Because now what appears can be understood little by little of its nature, that it has arisen by conditions. No one can make it arise at all. And now it's not there anymore. Is there hardness now? To be truthful, see, to be truthful to this moment, any moment, what is there? Is there hardness now? See? To be truthful at moment of seeing, is there hardness? There is the idea that it is there, but in truth, it does not appear. So how can there be the understanding of the hardness when it is not there? Just think about it and have the idea that it's still there. But when it does not appear, is it true that it's still there? Or someone takes it away, it's not there anymore? Even now, touching any part of the body, what is touched? See? Touching the body of whatever is there, cats or dogs, children, or no matter what is there. So when we talk about hardness, we don't talk about table and things. We just talk about that which appears at moment of touching. Very universal, anywhere, anytime. So we talk about the absolute truth of what is there as it is. When it's there, no thinking about it at all. At that moment, only hardness is there, because it is experienced by a reality which arises to experience it only. And that which experiences hardness cannot see, cannot hear, cannot think. It arises to experience hardness and then gone. So now, when that does not arise to experience hardness, no hardness appearing. At moment of seeing, no understanding of seeing. So there is thinking about hardness and other things. But in truth, what is there so real? It's only that which is seen. And at moment of touching, what is real? Only that which is touched it's real, no matter it's hot or cold, hard or soft. It's there only at the moment of touching. This is the way to let go the idea of something there as mine or me or my body. It's not there at all. The truth is that seeing is not hard, it's not hot, it's not the body. It's just a reality which sees, and what is meant by seeing. Something is seen. And without that which experiences it, can that which is seen be seen? So true from moment to moment to understand the absolute truth. Can anyone change this moment of seeing to be hearing, touching? Impossible, because it's gone. And this is life.
And you talked about hardness, but I think there are many, many moments of hardness, but there are alternated by many other things in between.
And that's really why, in order to really experience hardness, is not clear, as what Buddha said, it does not appear well. Without understanding, can it appear well as it is? Because it's gone. And other thing is there. So how can it is experienced so clear, while the other thing just follows instantly?
Yeah.
Just like sitting on a train and it runs very fast. What is seen, is it clear? Many, many moments.
It doesn't matter at all.
That there are many other realities experienced in between, or many, many moments of thinking, because still the hardness has a characteristic, and there can be understanding of that characteristic, understanding of the nimitta of that characteristic of hardness, which has arisen and fallen away countless times with so many other realities experienced in between, so many ideas experienced, but still the characteristic can be directly known. And this is the real miracle of the Buddha's teachings, that it is possible to directly understand hardness even now at this moment, if there are the right conditions.
I heard the expression, layers of ignorance, layers of nimitta. And I was wondering about layers, what the meaning is.
So there is, as we know, the reality of hardness, which appears countless times, which is experienced many, many times. And the nimitta of hardness is there. But there is also the idea of the shape, the form, the kind of hardness, the object, the table, the thing, the person, so on and so on. So layers and layers of thinking and ideas about the hardness, taking it for something or someone all the time. And this is because of the layers and layers of ignorance, a little ignorance and more ignorance and more ignorance, completely covering up the truth. Like the different layers of the onion hiding the truth, that actually inside nothing there at all, or the layers of the banana trunk, nothing inside. Just layers and layers of ignorance hiding the fact that it's empty, nothing there, nothing to be found.
Nina, how I understood that layers and layers was, I think it's just another way of saying anubhyanjana, all the details or the particulars that we imagine or that we go over in our minds about.
There are the details, like now and what is seen. There are the details, the anubhyanjana of what is seen, but there's the thinking. Yes, as Sundara said, going over and over in our mind, thinking on and on and on, creating a story, a fantasy about the details of what has been seen or heard now, like looking at your screen and thinking of seeing just these visible object, but there's the impression of color, the idea of pink, the thinking about the pink shirt, on and on and on, the pink shirt that Nina is wearing. These are the layers and layers of thinking, layers and layers of nimitta on account of the ignorance that actually it's just what is visible that is seen now. And I think this also relates to a couple of the comments that Azita, you made on DSG, like when you hear that someone is in Bangkok having the discussion, which we can't attend, then moments of genuine gladness, but as you mentioned, moments of envy, moments of this or that, moments of thinking of poor me, all on account of not understanding right now that it is just seeing, no matter here or in Australia or in Holland, it is just hardness touched, no matter where and when. Actually, there's no I, no Australia, no Holland. There is just the seeing of what is visible and the hearing of what is sound. So it is the understanding that gradually leads to less envy and more gladness, more metta, more goodness of various kinds. Without understanding the truth of realities, impossible to appreciate that one situation isn't better than another situation, that there are just different dharmas.
Does hardness now appear around?
It doesn't.
Okay. Hardness now, does it appear around?
I don't think so. The panya is
not. Because at this moment of touching, the seeing, thinking. So how can hardness appear well? Not as it is. To understand that we live in the world of nimitta all the time, nimitta of one reality, and nimitta of shape and form as different things in life. Touch it. And one might think that hardness appear well, but not at all, according to the absolute truth. Because there is still seeing and sound and thought. So how can hardness appear well? We think that it's well, but when there's no understanding, it's not as well as we take it. Everything is just like hardness at moment of touching. Thus, that which is seen appears well, not at all, now, until it's just only one at a time. At a time, see, what does it mean? Nothing at all at that moment, only that which is one, only. That is moment of it appears well. But not well enough yet, because it's not moment of understanding the nature, the nimitta of the arising and falling away of that nimitta. That's why understanding what is meant by living in the world of nimitta, not as it is. So now what appears do not appear well, does not appear as it is, one reality at a time, one nimitta at a time. And just understanding of this level is not enough. Just to learn about the truth of what life is from moment to moment, continuously, in succession, very quickly, until hearing more about it, understand that we are talking about just a reality. We are talking about hardness we're talking about touching, hardness, and we talk about that which is seen, and we talk about the seeing, all do not appear well. But to learn what is there, just one reality or one nimitta at a time of one reality, or as one thing like a book. So there can be the question, does anyone see a book? Or what is seen, see? What is just the idea and what is the absolute truth?
Ajahn Ka, very nice to see you. It's Azita. It's very nice to see you in person. From the Sunday discussion, there was a comment, one visitor in one house at one time. So could we say that was the complete opposite to the other comment from Nina about layers and layers of nimitta, of whatever, nimitta of shape, form? So they're total opposites of each other, are they not?
So what is seen now to understand the layers of nimitta?
What is seen, did you ask?
There's
this visible object, and it appears that visible object is around all the time, but like Nina was also saying, it feels like hardness lasts, but then that's when I came back to that one visitor in one house at one time, meaning one jitta arises to experience one object at one time, and then it's all gone. And then there's another jitta experiencing another object. So it happens extremely, extremely quickly, like you were talking about traveling in a fast train and outside it's going past really quickly. And I remember a long time ago being on a riverboat in Bangkok on the Chao Phraya River and watching the water, as we went through the water, the spray of water. And it reminded me then of how fast jitters and realities must arise and fall. So it was I remembered that when I read that, when I heard one visitor in one house at one time. So they're very, very, very fast, and it will take a long time. I'm very, very sure that is the case. It takes a long time to understand.
From the very beginning, there must be the confidence of the truth of no one and nothing in truth. But what appears does not appear as it is, because it's not there anymore and it's repressed by the next moment, succeeded instantly. So how can be the understanding of the difference, the distinction between that which is there a moment ago and now? That's the meaning of it does not appear well as it is. So now, what is seen? See? Many things at once. How come layers of ignorance at the moment of seeing each single thing? And then there is thinking and so on. How thick of the layers? Added on and on each moment of experiencing anything through the six ways, the world of ignorance, the world of nimitta, have more confidence of one lives in the world of nimitta from birth to death, every life, not just only this life.
So those two comments.
You mentioned Zita, the first one, that it's just one visitor at a time, one citta experience, one object at a time. And the second one about the layers and layers of nimitta are actually pointing to the same truth, because it seems there are many visitors now, but actually there's only one. And the reason it seems that there are many visitors, or it seems that the visitor stays a long time, is because of those layers and layers of nimitta, or the ignorance accumulating, conditioning, the different ideas, the different thinking about people and things, and hardness that lasts, and visible object that's something that stays, and so on. So it's pointing to the same truth, that actually the hardness now that's touched has fallen away instantly, and there are countless experiences of hardness which can be known by the nimitta, but because of ignorance it doesn't appear well. As Ajahn was stressing to Nina, it seems there is something there all the time.
So you're saying, where I said they were opposites, you're saying that they're not. It's the one visitor is pointing to the reality of those layers and layers.
Exactly. The fact that actually there's one visitor is showing up how many layers of ignorance there is, how much thinking there is of the shape, the form, the idea, the substance, the object, the table, the thing that is experienced.
Mm.
So if there's no understanding of the reality of the characteristic of hardness as it is when it appears, it can never be known how much ignorance has been accumulated, how many layers of nimitta there are in that sense.
So the missing factor is understanding. Not understanding is very poorly developed. So that's why we think that there's things lasting, because there's not the understanding to actually understand that moment.
And it's not firm and confident enough to let go the idea of something. It's clinging to the idea of something that is touched that stays.
Thank
you. So it has to develop on and on to penetrate those layers and layers of nimitta.
It's like building up a movie. And I was thinking about it this morning, building up this movie in my head, but there's no head and there's no me. I think it was when I was walking, you know, it feels like bombardment of the senses. There's so many things happening, and then we make up stories about everything we see and hear and taste and smell and touch. That's the layers, I should think. Yeah.
Just the same in Thailand or in Cairns or anywhere, because of the thinking and the clinging and the ignorance and wrong understanding. That the appearance of being bombarded and so on.
It's just another story.
Another story about me and my experience.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, Tam. Good to hear you.
Very nice to see you and see Ajahn. Yeah. So you look pretty young.
Do you have your video, Tam Tam? It's good if we can see you too at the same time as you're speaking. Good. That's easier for Ajahn. Otherwise, she's looking at a black screen. Good.
Yes. Can you see me okay?
Yes. This is Tam Tam, who lives in Australia. Tam Tam, yeah.
My internet a little bit on and off, so excuse me if not very good. I just want to ask you the question regarding about the nimitta. For the nimitta of the seeing, is that visible?
So what is seen now, is it the visible object that is seen by seeing?
Yes.
And what about if there is understanding of visible object? What is the object of understanding? Can it be the visible object that was seen?
The understanding of the visible object.
Because the visible object that was seen has fallen away. Many yes. visible objects have fallen away. So at the moment of understanding, there cannot be any seeing at that moment.
That's
because
right.
Understanding cannot arise with seeing. So the understanding has to understand the nimitta of visible object, the sign of visible object, the characteristic of visible object, because actually the visible object itself completely gone.
Right. But how can we see after that? How can we see even now?
Can we see anything?
If you pardon me, yes, I can see plenty of things. People, computers, books, pens, tables.
So what is this I that can see? Is the I a reality that sees?
No, the seeing that see.
The seeing sees. So in truth, is there any I or me to experience anything?
No, the seeing experience.
The seeing experiences. And yep. what does actually the seeing see? Does it see people and books and things?
Visible objects.
Okay. So why does it seem that what is seen are people and books and things?
Because of ignorance.
Because of ignorance, right? Right. Which covers yes. up the truth that actually it's only that which is visible that is seen. But because of ignorance, it seems that I see, and it sees that I see you, I see other people, I see books. But actually, it's just seeing now which sees. And
but did you say they are the limiters?
Without the development of understanding of the nimitta of what is seen and the nimitta of seeing, impossible to understand what is seeing, what is seen, and what is the distinction between them.
There's a question of Ajahn a moment ago. She asked, do you see a book? Do you see a book? So I'm thinking, seeing the nimitta of the object, which is like a concept we call a book. Does that make sense?
Does seeing see the concept of the book?
Seeing does not see, it see the visible object.
Right. So what experiences the idea of book?
The thinking after.
Thinking, right, thinking afterwards, not the seeing.
Because of the nimitta.
Because of thinking again and again about the idea. And there couldn't be the thinking about the idea if there wasn't the nimitta of the visible object that had been seen and thought about, and if there wasn't the memory of what was seen, the memory of the sign of what was seen, which conditions the thinking about the book and the idea that the book is seen.
But there is seeing at the moment.
Seeing right now.
Yes.
And what does seeing see right now?
Visible objects.
And how long does it see visible object for?
Well, from learning, in the moment.
A very, very brief moment.
Yes.
And then the seeing falls away instantly. and the other cheetahs in the process experience that visible object all fall away, and then countless moments of thinking about what is seen, thinking about the shape, the form, the idea of what is seen, and so on. So when we say there's seeing now, it's just for a moment. It doesn't last at all, not at every moment.
So really, we don't see anything at all. Really, there is no...
no we to do anything, no we to see, no we to hear, no we to touch, no we to think. Because where is this we?
Right.
Just in our imagination. Just thinking about an illusory we that sees and hears. I'll let Ajahn ask you some more questions.
Thank you. It's really, really deep.
Very deep. That's why we have to hear and consider and reflect and always come back to this moment and understanding what is real right now.
And just to summarize that, you could see that it's thinking about the visible object that produces the idea of the book, right?
Yes.
And it's also thinking.
Because John, may I cut you here? Because the thinking produced the image of the book, but because I'm thinking in the thinking, the meaning of thinking in the conventional term, so thinking doesn't give me the visible, you know?
Correct. It's based on the experience of the visible object by seeing. There is thinking, which produces the idea of the book.
Yes.
And also it's habitual thinking that has the idea that it's me who is seeing, that the book is being experienced by me.
Correct. Yes.
Right. The reality is it's just seeing, experiencing visible object, and thinking does the rest. With memory.
But there is the limiter of the seeing. That can be...
Well, we're not talking about the limiter of the seeing at the moment, because the seeing itself is not the object of awareness or understanding.
Right.
So we have to think about the limiter of the seeing. When we talk about limiter, it's in the context of something that is being experienced.
So being experienced by the seeing.
The seeing performs its function regardless of whether it has an emitter or not.
Yes.
Right? So we don't have to think about, when we're talking about what seeing, what is being experienced by seeing, we don't have to think about the emitter of the seeing. We're thinking about the emitter of the visible object in that context.
Yes.
So the jitta that thinks, there would also be an emitter of that, but we don't have to complicate things by trying to work out what the emitter is doing all the time. The fact of the emitter helps to explain why, for example, it seems that there is many moments of the same visible object, because that is the emitter of the visible object, right? It explains why something that has just fallen away can still be the object of understanding, because it's the emitter of the just fallen away object that is experienced. We don't have to complicate things by trying to work out what the emitter of any given reality is doing, as it were.
So now we're talking about emitter, right? Because usually when we heard the word nimitta, we have different idea, like a dream, nimitta, see, it's not real. But nimitta in the sense of what is seeing. See, seeing arises just to see and then fall away. So how many moments of seeing right now as I'm seeing you? How many moments of seeing to be you? Because there must be only very tiny that which can impinge on the eyelids, which is so very tiny. It's not the whole you or the whole table at all. Just only that which impinged on the eyelids is the condition, the reality which arises to experience that which is the impinging on the eyelids. So can that be you? Just that which is so very tiny, impinged on the eyelids?
Not at all. So, yes.
But as soon as I see you, so many moments of seeing, right?
Yes.
Seeing you, many moments, seeing everything there as hairs and eyebrow and so on.
Yes.
To have idea of you. So this is nimitta of seeing. When we talk about just one reality, because seeing is real, because there is something seen now, so there must be the reality which experiences it to know that it's there as it is. A moment of seeing cannot be known, right?
No.
Because before seeing, there must be citta which does not see, right? And after seeing, there must be citta, the reality which experiences that does not see. So seeing is only a reality. It has its own function. Just arise to see. That's all. That's all. It cannot remember anything. It cannot like or dislike. Its function is just to arise to see right now what is meant as seeing, a reality which sees. But when it appears as so many, many things are there together at one moment of seeing, just like open one's eyes. But in truth, not just one moment at all. We take it from moment of seeing. A moment of seeing, it has to be only that which impinges on the eyelids. But when it sees something, more moments of that which impinges on the eyelids, seeing arises, sees, and then gone. Right? So what appears is not hearing at moment of seeing something. It is the nimitta of seeing, many moments of seeing. Just one single moment of seeing, can it be known? And what the object of seeing as no thing, no pen, no table, only that which is there, impinging on the eyelids, can it be known? So very, very rapidly, just arise and falls away in split seconds. And that is the meaning of nimitta of everything, no matter its sound or hardness or that which is seen or the seeing itself. Because actually, that which arises to experience an object lasts longer than that which is seen. What is there as hardness lasts for 17 moments of citta. Not one citta arise and one rupa arise and fall away together. Not at all. That which is seen has to arise before seeing. So how many moments will last from then on? 17 moments. That's why no one can just experience one moment, because by the process, the way it is, from moment to moment, there has to be other moment which experience the object which is seen, but it cannot see. The citta after seeing, only as soon as seeing has fallen away, citta which has fallen away conditioned the next moment to experience the object which is there, impinged on the eyelids, but the citta which arises after seeing cannot see. See? But who knows about those cittas arising before seeing and after seeing? What is now is only seeing. So it's there to be known as it's not just one moment of seeing, but it seems like there is seeing now. And what is seen is something with shape and form, but in truth, it cannot be that which impinges on the eye base, because even that which is seen arising and falling away so rapidly, and it conditioned the shape and form to be remembered, marked, and make it known as something like, I see you, not the other person or other thing at all. So yeah. We live in the world of nimitta, of everything.
May I ask you another question regarding about this, please? The seeing of one moment is the same with the seeing of the next moment or not?
Different moment, different object, but are conditioned by almost the same thing to appear as the same object.
If it is the same object of the seeing.
Just to correct one little error that came in was the what is seen, the visible object, lasts longer than the seeing, because after the seeing, other cittas experience that same visible object.
Yes.
But the next seeing cannot experience that visible object because it's fallen away already. So it's always, each moment of seeing always experiences a different visible object. It can never be the same one, because even yes. though that visible object lasted much longer than the cheetah, it yes. has to have fallen away before the thinking about it and before other sense door processes. And the next seeing isn't straight after that eye door process, because there has to be thinking in between.
Yes.
So it's always a different visible object.
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ajahn. Thank you, John. Very happy again.
Just a comment to Tam Tan. Hello. it just shows us how fast it all happens. I think that's the thing that comes to me in a lot of these discussions, that it's just so, so fast, the arising and falling of realities. That, that's all I needed to say. How quickly it all arises and falls away. And as Sarah was saying about, we do think we see similar, or the same thing. If we're staring at something, it seems to be the same thing. But when we learn about how those realities arise and fall away so quickly, that it can never be the same thing. It's got to be a different object.
Yes, thank you, Azita. Yeah.
That's okay.
Please excuse me, John. I have one comment to make about the process of citta, and it's important to emphasize it's only one citta that sees, and the others in the process of citta have other functions. So just to have an idea of the minute detail, and thank goodness for Sanya, which marks and remembers, and Namita. Otherwise, I'd be quite lost in trying to understand anything. Concepts are certainly a worthwhile study for me. Just in Survey of Paramatta Dhammas, written by Tanajan, there are three chapters on concepts. So it's important, the importance of wise reflection. Reading, being around with wise friends, communicating, studying, and wise reflection. Very important. So I hope that I want to add something to the pot today. Thank you.
So, of Paramatta Dhamma, written by Nina.
Hi, Ajahn.
Now, no doubt anymore about the meter. So clear. even seeing now is nimitta. The real one has fallen away moment to moment. That's why sunyata, anatta, gone completely, absolutely, never to return. What is there? It's only nimitta of that which arises and falls away. So very, very quickly, it does not appear well. That's why we study each one to know it as no one there at all, only different reality appearing. No matter how many realities are there, how many kinds of rupa, how many kinds of citta, how many kinds of cetasika, only that which appears through six ways can be known. Nimitta of many, many realities, but it can appear only through six ways. And not all. For example, different cetasikas like Chivitindriya cetasika and so on. Is it the object of understanding right now? Does it appear? Not at all. What appears is the nimitta of citta, nimitta of rupa, and nimitta of cetasika. So we live in the world of nimitta. And there can be the understanding of nimitta of one reality, to know that even that cannot be taken for anyone or thing at all. So is there now nimitta? All are nimittas of realities arising and falling away. Let go the idea of self little by little. The world of nimitta, no one at all. And when any reality doesn't appear well, it cannot let go the idea of thing and people at all. Little by little. So now the path is the understanding of what is there, little by little, naturally, by panya or right understanding, not anyone. Even panya is nimitta. What arises must be nimitta, because it arises in false way, unknowingly. The citta before seeing, the citta after seeing. Only seeing can be known. One dogma at a time. That's why to know that at moment of seeing, is that the body, hardness, smell, or taste, impossible. One world of one reality. So the world means that which arises and falls away. Because what arises has to fall away instantly. So very fast, very rapidly, unknown. So when it appears well, what appears? To be well at moment of understanding the nature which is there as it is, what appears to be the object of understanding. It is nimitta of a reality. Now so many realities seems like they appear together, but in truth, only one at a time, the world of nimitta.
So, Ajahn, it's the nimitta that appears well. When you say it appears well, it's the nimitta. It can't be the reality, because the reality has gone already.
But without reality, can there be nimitta?
No, certainly not. I remember a long time ago, we talked about the bird flying and the shadow of the bird, and that was the nimitta, the shadow. And I think another analogy was a photocopy of the original. So they're all helpful, I think, in letting us know what nimitta is.
Please excuse me, Tanajan. Is it not true that even an enlightened one, a Buddha, an Arahat, cannot isolate one moment of citta? There is the understanding, though. The panya.
At one time?
Not possible.
That's why the truth is the truth, no matter who experiences it. But what about Sariputta's panya, right understanding? And Ananda, Mokkallana, Mahakasapa, different. But who's the foremost? Sariputta. And what about the other, depending on conditions, but not at the same time, just one at a time. So now there are many cittas which is taken for seeing, right? The citta before and the citta after. So at moment of directly experience with understanding of the truth, is it different from now or the same? But what is different is right understanding, which now there is the nimitta of hardness, no understanding of the truth of it. It's not directly aware, object of awareness and understanding. But when it's there, it means that there is nothing. But it appears as even right now. There are many things too, not just only one reality, hardness. At moment of hardness appearing, there are other things too. Because what is meant by direct awareness and direct understanding is not enough directly yet, because at that moment it arises and falls away. So the direct awareness is not strong enough, not deep enough to be directly to that very moment. It has to be panya, which now we talk about seeing, and there is seeing to be understood, but not directly at all, right? Because there is seeing, and at moment of hearing, there is the considering what is heard to understand what is there as it is from hearing and considering. So seeing is there, but no understanding of seeing. That is nimitta of seeing and nimitta of everything. That's why begin to understand what is meant by direct awareness. It's not pariyatti, because pariyatti is hearing, considering about what is there, the meaning, the nature of it, but not the actual moment when it's there, as just it's there. So shortly, it's gone all the time. That's why right understanding develops little by little to understand the nimitta of things, without the absolute reality arising and falling away, there cannot be anything at all. But how come to be thing? Hardness cannot be anything. Taste cannot be seen or heard. It's just a reality. And thinking about just one process, one citta, experiences the nature of it and fall away. Only right understanding, which let go the idea of self and wrong understanding, little by little, to be confident, to be confident of the truth that actually there's no one, but there are many different realities to be taken for this and that, because the arising and falling away of all realities are there from moment to moment to be marked and remembered, to be known of that as it's something. And so what can be known is only that which appear. Sampatichana does not appear. Santirana cannot appear. But now seeing, many, many moments of seeing, only seeing. That's why when it's the moment of directly understanding of the truth, it has to be just like the six dhavis. And understanding the difference between the five dhavis and the mind. How can it be that which experience the object but not see, but experience the same thing as the photocopy? Almost the same. Very difficult to tell the difference. But it's not the same. See? So what can be known is just right now as it is. But it is one reality at a time. While now there are not just only one reality, not only color, visible object, but also hardness and sound, so on, thinking, hearing. But each one has to be the direct object of direct awareness with direct understanding of only that little by little. So now it does not appear well, but when there is awareness of a reality, it begins to understand that what is there now has to be the object which has to be known. Otherwise, there cannot be a moment of letting go the idea of self or thing.
Yes, Ajahn, the impermanence, the anattaness, and also the suffering. There's no refuge in it. Truth is the refuge. And at times, prior to your expressing appreciation for what little understanding is there, I was just looking at vast, vast oceans of ignorance. And what little understanding is there, is there is appreciation, very little, but it's there.
And that is panya and piti, to know the truth even just a little, better than none. Because it's there, enrooted, to develop more and more understanding of the truth. But it has to be one reality at a time to be known.
Yes, Ajahn, so naturally, why stay in darkness? It's just so natural to draw to the light, which elucidates, enlightens. Yes. Thank you, Ajahn.
Azita, do you want to carry on with your other topic?
It's regarding Jivitindriya. And it appears there's two types of Jivitindriya. There's the Jivitindriya, which is a nama, and there's a Jivitindriya, which is rupa. So, I understand that the rupa jivitindriya only arises in living beings, or the rupas that are the rupas of living beings. But also, I don't quite understand what the nama jivitindriya does. Can you explain, please?
So the first one you mentioned, the rupa. So the Jivitindriya Rupa just arises in those kalapas, those groups of rupas conditioned by karma. So in the groups of rupas, what make up a table or a tree, there are no groups conditioned by karma. So no Jivitindriya Rupa. But in every group that is conditioned by karma, for example, the eye sense group, the ear sense group, the masculinity group, those groups which are conditioned by karma must have Jivitindriya Rupa in the kalapa, even though it's not known or it doesn't appear And this is different from the Jivitindriya Nama that has to arise with every citta. It's one of the universal chetasikas, which maintains the life of that citta and those other chetasikas that arise with it. Without the Jivitindriya arising with citta, there could be no consciousness, no experiencing of anything. So that's why only for living beings is there consciousness. Only for living beings is there therefore Jivitindriya that maintains the citta and the other namas. For the plants, the trees, no namas at all, of course. So that's why both the Nama Jivitindriya and the Rupa Jivitindriya only arises in living beings.
Right. And just one other question on the one regarding beings. So every part of this body has jivit, every galapa in a body has Jivitindriya, or only the ones like you mentioned that's by
only those groups conditioned by karma.
Okay.
For example, there are many groups of kalapas arising and falling away in what we call the body, conditioned by nutriment, conditioned by temperature, and also conditioned by citta. Right. So those groups, like the groups of rupas conditioned by nutriment, not just when eating, but continually throughout the day, throughout the night, no Jivitindriya rupa because they're conditioned by nutriment. So only those groups conditioned by karma.
Okay. That's great to hear. Thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Could I ask a general question?
Go ahead, Shanti.
I'd like to know about characteristics. I hear and read a lot that a moment of sati, knowing a characteristic of reality, leads to understanding of the realities. I mean, sati, of course, and panya, but sati, aware. And sometimes I get confused what is a characteristic and what isn't. Like I read, a defilement can become a hindrance. And then the characteristic of heaviness, for example, for worry, can be evident. Yet heaviness seems so conventional and conceptual. So in general, I'd just like to hear more about what is and what isn't a characteristic of reality in a moment.
It's what you said, right? It's hard. Hard is a characteristic. But we use the term hard to make it known as what we meant, that characteristic. What characteristic? Hardness. Seeing is a characteristic too, because it is that which arises and experiences that which is seen, only that which is seen. So seeing is a characteristic. And in truth, it's a function of that particular citta, while the other citta cannot perform that function at all. So we call it seeing. So its characteristic is seeing. Its function is seeing. So we call it by its function and its characteristic. Hearing, see, a characteristic, which experiences sound only according to its characteristic. We give name, use that name to know it as what we mean, which one we mean. When we use the term hearing, it means that characteristic. When we use the word seeing, it's that characteristic. Sweet, bitter, characteristic. Each reality has its characteristic. Otherwise, it cannot be a reality. Each reality has its own characteristic. Like nama, see, that which experiences an object. Rupa, that which cannot experience the object. Not only the word, but the characteristic of each different realities.
So, Jan, the Vedana also have the characteristics of feeling, is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why we call it feeling, and in Pali it is Vedana.
Yep.
Vedana. Khanda. A reality. Not all realities in that group, but just one reality arises and falls away. It's one khanda, number only.
So there have to be many khandas arising together. Vedana cannot arise on its own. It has to arise together with the citta and the other cetasikas. Each one is a khanda. So they have to arise, they have to come together, but each one is a khanda, and each one, when it is the object that is experienced, it is the characteristic of that reality, that Vedana or that hardness or whatever is experienced. It is that characteristic which is experienced, like now at the moment of touching. The characteristic of what is touched is different from a moment ago, but it's still just hardness, even if this one is a bit softer than the one a moment ago, but it's still the characteristic of that reality, that khanda that is experienced. Never the same one, never the same visible object experienced, never the same hardness. Even when touching the table now and now and now, it's always a different hardness, a different khanda that is experienced, because each one falls away instantly, only ever arises once, never to return at all.
Yes, thank you. I'd just like to hear more and more about characteristics yet, as opposed to falling into the trap of what is not a characteristic anymore.
Is it a reality?
A characteristic is a reality.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, how can we know different ones as different characteristics?
So we read about the common characteristics of all conditioned dharmas. They all have the characteristic of being impermanent, unsatisfactory, and not self. And the individual characteristics of each reality, the characteristic of hardness is different from the characteristic of heat. So each reality has its particular characteristic. The characteristic of visible object is different from that of seeing. So whether we talk about the understanding of the reality or understanding the characteristic of the reality, actually it's the same. It's actually what is experienced now, or what is known, is the nimitta of the characteristic of the reality.
So is it not a characteristic anymore when there is thinking of it? Is that the answer?
Then it's thinking happiness. About the idea of that characteristic,
yes.
Like thinking about the idea of the hardness of the table. So it's a concept, but if there had not been the hardness experienced, there wouldn't be the thinking about it, thinking about the hardness of the table different from the softness of the cushion. But at the moment of thinking, it's just the idea about it.
Yes. And chittasikas have characteristics?
All realities have characteristics. The characteristic of attachment is different from the characteristic of anger. The characteristic of metta is different from the characteristic of stinginess. So any reality has its particular characteristic, as well as the common general characteristics.
So take stinginess, then it is a characteristic in that very short moment, and it's not anymore when I think about how stingy anything or anyone or whatever story. So that's the trap.
Characteristic, that's the story about it. Yes. So like one may think about the stinginess that someone showed, but actually no stinginess at the moment of thinking. It's just the story about it, the story about someone and the story about their stinginess. Actually, no stinginess at all. So that's what is meant by living in the world of concepts, living in the world of nimittas, living in the layers and layers of nimitta with ignorance, because the reality is not there at all. It's long since gone. And even if it was the other's stinginess, even when it seemed to be present, actually it was still just a fantasy, a story about it.
Yes, and the concept itself is not real. Not real.
The thinking,
not a reality.
The thinking is real, but
thinking
the,
is real, but
concepts, the concept, the idea, the idea of I or my stinginess is just an idea.
So does this include the nimitta as well, Sarah?
When there is thinking about the idea, the story about stinginess, it's thinking about that reality which may or may not have been experienced. But when there is stinginess and the characteristic of stinginess is experienced or is known, it is the nimitta of the stinginess, because the stinginess itself has fallen away. Many, many stinginesses have fallen away. So it's always the nimitta of the reality which is known, which is understood.
Thank you. It's very good to hear more about the characteristics as we accumulate ignorance and other kilesas in moment of thinking about characteristics. But the moment that sati happens and is aware of the characteristic of reality, that's the moment of taking down a brick from the wall. Kunsajin describes in her book the brick wall layers of kilesas. Is that right? That's the moment sati is aware of a reality, of the characteristic of reality. It's the path.
It's like the pre-path leading to the path, leading to the direct understanding and the direct awareness of the characteristic of reality. And when it is the path, when it is the development of satipatthana, it is the gradual removing of the bricks in samsara. But when there is just the wise reflection, wise consideration, the right intellectual understanding with awareness, because there cannot be understanding without awareness, it is the beginning, it is the way that leads to that path, to the development of satipatthana, which leads to the clear understanding that we were talking about earlier. Only when it is the direct understanding can we say the characteristic of reality appears well, and only when it conditions vipassana jnana does that object, that characteristic, appear really clearly. So now it is leading to that direct path, which, as you say, is the removal of the bricks of samsara through the development of understanding and insight into the truth of what life is at this moment.
So it's not so much the characteristic, but the nama, the experiencing.
Shanti?
Yes.
I was just thinking about your question. Characteristic. It says something about it in the word itself. The word ik, it's the same in Pali as actually in English. Ik means possessed of. So it's possessed of a certain nature, a certain quality, a certain attribute, a certain property. It's a quality, so it has a property that it's able to be recognized by. So when we talk about the characteristic of nama, the characteristic we say, its nature is to experience, as opposed to rupa, which cannot experience. It just talks to its nature. And you'll see that with a lot of Pali words, with IKA, slightly different in Pali, but it's virtually the same word, or the same suffix you get in English, as you get in many, I'm sure you have it in your own Dutch language too. It means it's possessed of a quality.
Thank you, Sundara. Yes, I was just coming back to the realization that the nama is what is aware, what is experiencing, and that's again what makes the difference between the thinking or the awareness or even understanding. And not so much that we have to know what the characteristic is like and dive into those words. Like if I know all the characteristics possible, then I would know realities. It's not about that at all. It's about...
It also relates to Tam's point about nimitta too, because at the moment of touching the hardness that is experienced, no matter whether we call it hardness, no matter whether we call it characteristic, no matter whether we call it nimitta, actually it's just hardness which is experienced, and the understanding is of that nature of that reality that is experienced. So it has to come back to what appears now. Otherwise, instead of helping the hearing about different lakana or different nimitta, makes it more complicated and conditions less understanding about what appears right now. I think we just have a few minutes if Ajahn would like to add anything else.
When there is the understanding of now we live in the world of nimitta, it is the understanding of the truth that actually what is ignorance and what is right understanding. To be confident of the truth, that the truth right now can be understood as it is, and it can be enlightened of its truth, because it's the truth. So now we think a lot about what has been experienced in the day, but the truth is that where are they now? Only one moment at a time, and that moment is not known as it is, but takes it for nimitta of everything. So we begin to understand what is the truth, even of nimitta. There must be the reality which arises and experiences an object, different characteristics like or dislike, understanding, ignorance, and so on. And the other reality which does not experience anything at all. Where are they? See, if we don't know where are they, it's not the study of the truth, because they are here and now. Not far away, anytime, It's there, always there, like seeing now, thinking now, hardness now, everything are hidden to be known, the truth of it as it's just there when it appears. And this is life. And the arising and falling way is so very subtle. That's why all dharmas are so subtle. Even that which now appearing arises and falls away is not known. But in truth, they are not there anymore. It's there, seeing and then gone, hearing gone, everything gone, and seeing again, gone again. In the day, whatever is there is conditioned to arise only and then fall away instantly. But ignorance cannot understand the truth of it because the rapidity of the arising and falling away of all dharmas which is conditioned to arise. For example, seeing now, who knows how many moments and what appears is not as it is, people and things. It's only that which impinge on the eye. That's all. That's why learn to understand little by little of what that can be understood, what can be understood. Not that we think about and talk about, but it's not now. So at that moment, there cannot be the understanding of the truth of what is there because thinking about other things, overwhelmed with so many incidents in life, but what is there now? So close, so short, but it's there. When there is little understanding about it, it can lead or condition the moment to attend to the characteristic which is there from hearing and considering little by little. This is the development of understanding that people take from the word patipatti. But they don't understand the meaning of patipatti. They think in the language in Thai to do something, to practice, but actually to understand the truth that is so very deeply that it has to be just one moment at a time, about one reality at a time. So it let go the wishful thinking to experience the Dharma as Ariyasaccha arising and falling away. And who knows that this is the only way now, the only way to understand the truth. Any moment when there is no understanding of what is there, it's not the way, it's not the path leading to directly experience what is there now. So it takes quite great kanti, patience to understand the truth that without one moment of understanding, it's impossible to have great understanding of the truth. It has to come from little by little moment to develop, to be keen, strong enough, to let go the idea of self, no matter what is there as attachment or aversion, even ignorance. Is it time now? Okay.